Alrighty, if you have your Bibles, and I hope that you do, please join me in the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter 10, we're going to be looking at verses 45 through 52 this morning. If you're just joining us this day, we've been marching through this wonderful book these past several months, and we're continuing to make our way through it. And man, I've learned so much. I've been reminded about so much as I have walked through this wonderful book. So Mark chapter 10, we're looking at verses 45 through 52. And I'd like to read that right now. It says, Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, I apologize. It says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he is calling you.' And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, let me recover my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go your way. Your faith has made you well.' And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way." Would you pray with me? God, we come before your throne this morning and we just say thank you so much for your word. Lord, your word that never returns void. Your word that is living and active and powerful. And God, we just say thank you so much for that. Lord, today as we open up your beautiful word, we just ask and pray, God, that you would teach us, that you would lead us, Father, and that you would guide us. Speak to our hearts right now. We need you, God. In your name we pray. Amen. So these past several weeks, we've seen Jesus in the scriptures on his way to Jerusalem to die on the cross for sin. And as he is on his way into Jerusalem, he is teaching the disciples about who he is. He's teaching them about what it means to be his follower. And we've seen very clearly in the scriptures that Jesus calls his followers to take up their cross. He calls his followers to a life of sacrifice. He calls his followers to a life of humility. He calls his followers to a life of service. Jesus says, and last week we read these words in Mark chapter 10, verse 43. Jesus said to his disciples, "But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." And right after Jesus tells his disciples these amazing words, he shows them again exactly what he's talking about. In this story today, we see a blind beggar. And the blind beggar, this is point number one, this blind beggar cries out for mercy. Again, look at verse 46. It says, "And they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples in a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside." So here we see a blind beggar sitting by the roadside, and he is doing what the blind so often did during this time, and that was to beg. And to understand the significance of Bartimaeus begging by the roadside, we need to understand how blindness was viewed, for lack of a better word, during this time. You see, people during this time believed that people were blind because a person was under divine judgment. They believed that one was blind because God was punishing them. In John chapter 9, there's a story that illustrates this. It says, "And as he passed by," that's Jesus, "Jesus saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?' Jesus answered, 'It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him.'" So people believed that someone was blind because God was punishing them because of their sin. According to their theology, this man was blind because he was a sinner, but we know that that's not the case. We know that that is not true. So this blind beggar in Jericho, he was deemed an outcast. These people believe that he was blind because he deserved it. Therefore, this man, Bartimaeus, was reduced to begging for anything that he might receive. So we see that. And then in verse 47, it says, "And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out." And when you see the words "cry out" here, don't just think some weak and timid cry. Think, you know, a loud and shrieking scream. Think a loud and shrieking, you know, outburst of someone, you know, screaming out for someone. Think, you know, a woman in labor going through childbirth, that type of scream. I mean, he is screaming out for Jesus. He is crying out for Jesus. He's crying out and saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And many rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And it says, "And Jesus stopped and said, call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up. He is calling you." So this blind beggar, Bartimaeus, hears that Jesus is coming by, and he does the only thing that he knows to do. That's to scream. That's to shriek out. That is to cry out. He begs Jesus to have mercy on him. He begs Jesus for kindness. He begs Jesus to have compassion on him. He's begging Jesus for Jesus to have pity on him in his affliction. He begs Jesus because that is the only hope that he has. It reminds me of the story in Luke chapter 18, which reads like this. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus in his self-righteousness, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. God, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." Jesus says, "But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you," Jesus says, "this man went down to his house justified rather than the other," rather than the Pharisee. "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." Listen, church family, you and I are no different than this blind beggar sitting by the roadside. While we do not know why this man was physically blind, we know why we were once spiritually blind. We were once spiritually blind because of our own sin, because of our own affliction that we've brought upon ourselves. We were once spiritually blind because we deserved it. Listen, and Jesus owes us nothing. In all reality, we don't even deserve the opportunity to be able to cry out to Jesus, "Jesus, have mercy on me." But God, in his mercy, allows us to cry out to him for mercy. And when you and I cry out to God, "God, have mercy on me," like the tax collector cried out, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Listen, that is a cry that he hears and responds to every single time. MacArthur says, "He never ignores the cry of a true heart of repentance and desperate sinners who know they're worthy of nothing. They will always gain a hearing with him." The blind beggar, he cries out to Jesus for mercy, and may you and I realize the privilege that we even have to ask him for mercy. Another thing that we cannot miss in this passage of Scripture, again, look at verse 49. It's an amazing verse. It says, "And Jesus stopped." If you write in your Bible, underline that or circle that, highlight that. Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." Why is that important? We need to understand this morning, church family, what Jesus stopped from. Remember, Jesus is on the road to Jerusalem. The very next act in the life of Jesus is Jesus entering into Jerusalem on a donkey, heading into Jerusalem to die on the cross for sin. And he doesn't tell Bartimaeus. He doesn't say, "Bartimaeus, I've got bigger fish to fry." He doesn't say, "Bartimaeus, I'm on my way to do something important. I don't have time for you today, Bartimaeus." What does Jesus do? He stops. He stops. Why does he stop? He stops because he loves Bartimaeus. He stops because he's a servant, right? He stops to show the disciples exactly what he's talking about, that he is a servant of the down and out. He stops because he just said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." So here is this outcast, one that is shunned by society, one reduced to begging for everything that he might receive. And what does the Son of God do as he is on his way to the cross? He stops. He stops. Listen, whatever you might be going through this morning, whatever you might be facing, whatever is on your heart, listen, Jesus is not too busy for you. Jesus stops for you. He stops for you because he loves you. He stops for you because he cares for you. Jesus stops for you. And may this truth this morning remind us that as Jesus Christ, the servant, the true servant, that is an example for you and I, as he stopped for this outcast, for this blind beggar, as he is on his way to die on the cross for sin, may this remind us that you and I are never too big to stop for anybody in need. Next, this blind beggar, he cries out for mercy. Next, the blind beggar, he came to Jesus in absolute dependence, leaving everything behind. Look at verse 50. It says, "And throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus." Now listen, this is a very important detail that Mark gives us. We cannot overlook this detail. In order to understand the importance of this verse, we need to understand the importance of the cloak during this time. To these people, especially for a blind, poor beggar, a cloak was everything. It would be the equivalent of your home, of your house. A cloak during this time period, it was used for bedding. It was used for a covering. It was used for protection from harsh weather. They would use their cloaks to carry items. They would use their cloaks to protect items or to conceal items. A cloak was a person's everything during this time. Exodus chapter 22 gives us this history. It says, "If you take your neighbor's cloak as security for a loan, you must return it before sunset. This coat may be the only blanket your neighbor has. How can a person sleep without it?" Dr. John Lee, a professor of New Testament at Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, says, "For the blind beggar, his cloak was likely his most important possession, if not his only possession. The cloak was a symbol of his existence and survival. The cloak was the most fundamental means for his survival. When Jesus called Bartimaeus, he left his cloak behind, the only covering he has for his own body, for his own survival. The imagery for laying aside the cloak is critically important. Throwing aside the cloak is in line with what the first disciples of Galilee did when they were called by the Lord. They left everything to be Jesus' disciples. For Bartimaeus, his cloak was his everything, and leaving his cloak behind, him coming to Jesus, signifies that Bartimaeus is trusting Jesus and Jesus alone." So Jesus told Bartimaeus to come. And Bartimaeus throws aside his cloak in his blindness, and he left everything he had to come to Jesus in absolute dependence. Listen, church family, you and I cannot cry out to God for mercy and come to God if we are not willing to leave everything behind. Listen, when Christ calls you and I, we come with nothing. We come with nothing. We come to Him in absolute faith. We come to Him in absolute dependence. We do not get to cry out to Jesus for mercy and say to Him, I'll follow you, but only if I can bring my cloak. I'll follow you, but only if I can live the life that I want to live. I'll follow you, Jesus, but I'm not going to give up this. MacArthur again says, you see, you take Christ on His terms, not yours. The proud sinner wants Christ and His pleasure, Christ and His purposes, Christ and His possessions, Christ and His sin. The person who is crushed and bankrupt, like Bartimaeus, is so desperate, he wants Christ and will give up everything. You see, there's always a cost to following Jesus. Always. We see that very clearly in the scriptures. Luke's gospel tells us, as they were going along the road, someone said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He's saying, I don't even have a pillow. Are you willing to follow me without that? To another, he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Yet another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. You see, there is always a cost to following Jesus. And we come with nothing except an absolute and utter faith in Christ, that He will supply everything that we could possibly need if we do follow Him. You might say, well, I don't know how my finances will work out if I follow Jesus and do what He tells me to do financially. You might say, I don't know how my family will respond if I truly do enter into this lifestyle of following Jesus. I don't know how my children will enjoy a life devoted to the Lord if I truly do follow Jesus with everything. You see, Bartimaeus didn't worry about his cloak, his everything. He simply came to Jesus when Jesus said, come. Yes, there is a cost to following Jesus, but when you follow Jesus in obedience, He will supply every cloak that you will ever need again. Listen, when you follow Jesus Christ on His terms, you lose nothing. You gain everything. You gain everything whenever you follow Jesus on His terms. And that's what Bartimaeus gained. He gained everything. He lost nothing. Next, we see this blind beggar. He placed his faith in Jesus and received salvation and healing. How do I see that? Look at verse 51. And Jesus said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said to him, Rabbi, let me recover my sight. And Jesus said to him, go your way. Your faith has made you well. This question that Jesus asked Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? This question should sound very familiar to us, church family. Remember last week we read about this. Look at verse 35 in Mark chapter 10. It says this, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to him and said to him, teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, what do you want me to do for you? Exact same question, but with two completely different responses. And they said to him, grant us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left hand in glory. You see, James and John, they wanted glory. They wanted fame. They wanted prominence. They were in it for themselves. But the blind beggar, what's he want? He just wants mercy. He just wanted to be able to see And Jesus always responds to humble cries of mercy. Bartimaeus calls Jesus Rabbi. It means master. It means chief. It means prince. It means Lord. And verse 47 tells us of the faith that Bartimaeus had and who Jesus was. Look again at verse 47. And when he heard, Bartimaeus, that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Luke's gospel of the same account says, they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." They said, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." This simply explains where Jesus was from. But Bartimaeus doesn't cry out, "Jesus of Nazareth." What does he cry out? "Son of David." Jesus, son of David. Why is this important? This is a messianic title that proclaimed that Jesus was the promised one sent from God. The title Son of David, it goes all the way back to the Old Testament. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, God told King David, "And your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever." And listen, this is the fulfillment of that. Jesus came from the lineage of David to sit on the throne forever. And what does Bartimaeus recognize, even in his blindness? That this is Jesus, the son of David, the promised one. And even in his blindness, Bartimaeus recognizes this, and he places his faith in Christ. And Jesus told him, "Bartimaeus, go your way. Your faith has made you well." That word "well" is very important. That word "well" is the Greek word sozo. You know what it means? It's the Greek word for salvation. Jesus told Bartimaeus, "Go your way. Your faith has saved you." Bartimaeus, he left all that he had to come to Jesus. And in one act of faith, in coming to Jesus, Jesus supplies everything that he'll ever need again. Yes, Jesus supplies healing for Bartimaeus. But ultimately, Jesus took care of Bartimaeus' greatest need, and that is the need for salvation. Listen, when you and I respond with an absolute faith to the call of Jesus, Jesus will supply everything that you need. But when you follow Jesus, he will supply the most important thing that you ever need when you place your faith fully in him. And the most important thing that you and I need is salvation. So today, how do you need to respond to Jesus in faith? Maybe you have responded to Jesus in faith for salvation. You've placed your faith in Christ for the forgiveness of sin. You've called upon the name of the Lord to forgive you of your sin. But is there any other area in your life that you need to place your faith fully in Christ? Maybe Christ is saying to you, "Come this way. Leave this behind in your life and come this way." Or maybe Jesus is saying, "Do this in your life." And you think to yourself, "How in the world is this going to work out?" Listen, that was no question for Bartimaeus. As he threw aside his cloak, he simply came to Jesus, and Jesus provided everything that he needed like that. How do you need to respond to Jesus today? You fill in the blank. Bartimaeus responded to Jesus with an absolute, literal, blind faith, and Jesus provided everything he could possibly need in a moment, in an instant. Maybe Jesus is just waiting on you today to simply respond, to respond to his call. Maybe Jesus is saying to you, "Share the gospel with this person," but you're scared to death to do it. Maybe Jesus is saying to you, go to Panama next time it's offered, and you're scared to death to do that. How in the world will God provide for that? Maybe God is calling you to respond in obedience, maybe in the area of your finances, and you're thinking, "How in the world could this work out?" And maybe God is just waiting for you to take one simple step of faith towards him. If you would simply do that, whatever God is calling you to do, listen, church family, he will work all the details out for you. Every detail God already has figured out. Next, what does the blind beggar do? He goes up and picks up his cloak and he goes and lives his life for himself, right? He goes and says, thank you, Jesus, for salvation. Now I will go and do my own thing, right? He doesn't do that. Notice what Bartimaeus does the moment he receives salvation from Christ. The blind beggar follows and worships Jesus. Verse 52, the rest of it, it says, and immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. Luke's account of this exact same story tells us this. Immediately he recovered his sight and followed him. Luke gives us a little bit more, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. What does Bartimaeus do? He realizes how hopeless he is without Christ. He cries out to Christ for mercy. What does Jesus do? Jesus stops. He responds to his cry of faith. Jesus gives him healing. Jesus gives him salvation. And Bartimaeus follows Jesus and worships him. As I was studying this past week, some historians, some theologians believe that the reason why Mark shares with us this story and the gospel writers share with us this story about Bartimaeus and actually give us his name and the name of his father, the reason why they share with us this story and give us his name, because they believe that Bartimaeus was a part of the very first beginnings of the church in the book of Acts. That he went from being a blind beggar, sitting by the road, reduced to begging for everything that he might receive, to standing up to his feet, to following Christ fully, to laying everything behind and following Christ fully, and worshiping Jesus, and being there at the very beginning, at the establishment of the church. Look what Jesus Christ can do. Take a blind beggar, whom the society had deemed an outcast, whom the society had written off and said, you're no good for nothing. You sit there and you beg because you deserve it, because you're a sinner. So they thought. And Jesus takes him, restores his sight, gives him salvation, and uses a man to become a part of the early church. Only God, right? Only God. But think about this. Bartimaeus goes from sitting and begging by the road to worshiping and praising Jesus on the road. Only Jesus. How can I apply a message like this to my life? Number one, do I realize how hopeless I am without Christ? Do I realize how hopeless I am without Christ? The Bible makes it very clear. It says in John 15 that without Christ, we can do nothing. Listen, Bartimaeus, he understood how hopeless he was without Christ. This is why he cried out to Christ for mercy. Jesus, son of David, help me. Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. I am hopeless without you. Listen, we need Christ for salvation, yes. The only way that we can have our sin forgiven is only through Christ alone, by calling on the name of the Lord to save us. But listen, church family, it doesn't stop there. We are hopeless without Christ in every area of our lives. In every area of our lives. Listen, my marriage, it's hopeless without Christ. Me raising a girl and two wild and crazy boys. Listen, without Christ, I'm hopeless. Without Christ, my children are hopeless. Without Christ, I can't make it in my job. Without Christ, I can't make it in anything. Without Christ, we are hopeless. We have to depend on him in everything. Yes, for salvation, but in every detail, in every aspect of our lives. We're hopeless without him. Do I realize this morning how hopeless I am without Christ? Next, am I following Jesus with an absolute dependence, leaving everything behind? Bartimaeus, he left everything behind. He was depending on nothing of himself. He was following Jesus, not knowing how everything was going to work out, not knowing if he was going to have protection, provision in the future. He was simply following Jesus. You fill in the blank this morning. Are you following Jesus with an absolute dependence, leaving everything behind? You see, we don't get to follow Jesus and say, I'm going to hold on to this, and I'm going to hold on to this, or I'm going to hold on to that. We either follow Jesus fully, or we don't follow him at all. Jesus says we leave everything behind. We take up our cross, and we follow him. Am I following Jesus with an absolute dependence, leaving everything behind? Next, have I placed my faith in Christ for salvation? The only way that you and I can have our sin forgiven is to place our faith in Christ for salvation. Next, have I placed my faith in Christ in every area of my life, every detail of my life? And what happens? After we do that, after we realize that I am hopeless without you, Christ, therefore, I will live every single day, every moment, every breath that I breathe with a dependence on you. May my attitude reflect you, Jesus. I need your help in my job. I need your help in my marriage. I need your help in every decision that I make. Jesus, I want your glory in everything that I do. We realize how hopeless we are. We cry out to him for mercy. Yes, for salvation, but we cry out to him for mercy in every area of our lives. We follow Jesus in absolute dependence, leaving everything behind. We place our faith in him in every single area of our life, not depending on our own selves, on our own strength, but for the strength of Christ in every area of our life. And then after we do that, what do? We continue to follow Jesus and worship him. Last question, am I daily following and worshiping Jesus? You see, we don't get to cry out to God, God, have mercy on me. Thank you for the forgiveness. Now I'll go and do my own thing. We follow the example of Jesus, right? What do? After we receive his salvation, we follow the example of Jesus. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We depend on him, we follow him, and then what do? We also follow the example of Bartimaeus. What's he do? He follows Jesus Christ with his life from that point forward. And what's he do? He worships Jesus Christ, depending on him for everything in the future and in the days to come. How's God speaking to you today? Would you pray with me? Would you answer that question this morning? Have I placed my faith in Christ for salvation? Why do you need to do that? Because the Bible makes it very clear that without Christ in your life and you placing your faith in him for salvation, not just praying a prayer, yeah, I believe in that stuff, but it's placing your faith in Christ and following him, calling on the Lord to save you. Why do you need to do that? Because the Bible says that you and I are dead in our sin without Christ. The Bible says that without faith in Christ, that we deserve to die a very real death in a very real place called hell. That's why we call on Christ to save us, because only through Christ can we have our sin forgiven. The Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, just like Bartimaeus did. He cried out to Jesus for mercy, and he was saved. Have you done that? You can do that this morning. You call on him right now to save you. You place your faith in him to save you. Ask him to forgive you for your sin. Listen, the Bible says everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Me standing up here on this platform makes me no different than you. We've all sinned. We all need Jesus. You call on him this morning to save you. Maybe you've done that this morning, but you're not following Jesus with an absolute dependence, leaving everything behind. You're kind of holding on to the life that you want to live, the life that you want for yourself. Are you following Jesus with an absolute dependence, leaving everything behind? Are you daily following and worshiping Jesus? As Bartimaeus got up to his feet, he followed Jesus, worshiping him, giving him praise, giving him glory. Are you doing that daily with your life? Jesus, we come to you this morning and we say thank you so much that we would even have the opportunity as mere sinners to cry out to you for mercy. God, help us to be a people who would thank you daily that we have the opportunity to simply cry out to you for help. Thank you for the story of Bartimaeus. Lord, help us to be a people who would daily follow you and worship you. And thank you for your mercy. And thank you for who you are and what you've done. At the same time, help us to be a people like Jesus who would stop and to serve other people in need and to live our lives the way that he has called us to do so. We love you, Jesus. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, in just a few moments, we're going to stand to our feet and we're just going to worship Jesus. We're going to proclaim these words. Wherever you lead, I go. Wherever you go, I will follow you. Let's sing these words and mean it from our heart this morning. If you're in this place today and you need prayer, maybe it's prayer for some situation that's in your life that I didn't even bring up today, we would love to pray over you. We're not going to judge you. We're not going to dive too deep into that. We just want to pray with you. There's something about being prayed for. If you need prayer this morning, you come forward. We would love to pray for you. If you need to make a spiritual decision and you have questions about what that means, come talk to one of us. Don't leave this place today without having that question at least wrestled with, maybe with somebody else. But you be obedient to God right now. You sing this song from your heart. You receive prayer. You respond back to God as he is calling you to do so. As we stand and as we sing.